Father God, we just thank you for this wonderful, this most special day. We thank you that every day in you is special. But we know this day is the day that we're living here, and we praise you because it's a good day. It's a mighty day. And we delight in thy ways. We delight in what thou hast given us. And Father, we pray for a mighty protection here tonight. Father, we just pray that there'll be love going one to another, and there'll be no ill feelings, nothing wrong from the enemy. We bind him in the name of Jesus. Father, we commit him out of this house, forever out of this house. And Father, we pray for a special strength, a special anointing, a special work within this home. And Father, we claim it and believe it as holy ground in Jesus' name. We pray that you'd touch mightily this night. And Father, we covet the things that you would have us do. And we seek you this night. We praise you this night. And Lord, we worship you and we thank you that we're made out of dust, but you've made us wonderfully after thy image. And you want to bring us into perfection that our image would take on your nature. And that's what it's all about, Lord, that we would just take on your nature. That one day when we get into heaven, you can find us because the other way we'll be hiding. We wouldn't feel comfortable. And Father, we just thank you for thy wonderful goodness, for thy wonderful truths, and for thy wonderful Son that was so special, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation of our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to magnify and to bless, to create within us a new heart, a new way. Give us that knowledge, that inner peace, Lord, that we need this night. And Father, we know that the world needs it this night. We need that inner peace, that inner strength, that inner power, that inner direction that comes from only you. And Father, we're more than conquerors through him which loved us. And Father, we pray for that special peace this night. We pray for that special direction. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. By me being a man, I have to sort of let you women know that I have to use some things that probably pertain more to us. But nowadays, even I see a lot of women that's operating heavy equipment. So it is a field that they can achieve. But my whole life has been at a place where God could speak to me very clearly because of where I was working, in that he could prove himself daily. He could prove himself that in a few seconds I would see something that I didn't know and would be there, and things like that. It's very special. But God wants us to deliver us from the hang-ups that we find ourselves in a world that's so full of ill and wrong feelings. It's so full of corruption. It's so full of darkness. As I read today, you know, when I'm preparing for this, I don't prepare as a like you might think. I'd be like I've taken some test, but preparation that I give to myself is reading the Word. And so I read certain portions. I want to lay it like how it is. Lord, I don't want to really know anything, but I want to fill my mind with your Word, that you can speak in me and through me and capably, that my words will be as an understanding. Because words are how do we minister and how we work in this life. We work for our words. The Bible says our words were justified, or by our words were condemned. And I truly believe that's why we need, God has let me speak this from my heart right now, but we really need that input from heaven. We're all natural man, we're all natural woman, but God's trying to bring us that place that we don't strive no longer and kick against the things that God wants to bring us into, but we relax and let him bring us in at our speed. At our speed, God will bring us into where he has us, as long as our desire, the desire is a very special factor with God. That my desire is that I would grow in his nature, in his likeness. Am I losing anybody so far? And that desire is the key position that I would always desire. My desire is not to walk over here or something that God's telling me I should get away from, but my desire is to walk in his will, in his covering, in his capacity, by his leadership. And that is equal to all of us here, or to whoever we're talking to. That is equal because God wants us to come in that, and he's not a respecter of person. That means that God will give to you what he gives to me. But the only difference there is, Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So that gives everybody a drive within them that we desire to do that in our hearts. We might hunger and thirst after righteousness, and God will fill us if that's our desires. The Bible says, for his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf whose heart is made perfect toward him. And the Bible says that he sees us when we call upon him and he'll answer us, but he's against those that do evil. So truly God, in somewhat we might say, is respecter of person, because he says that when we try, he's going to give us triumph. We try and he gives us the umph, gives us the power, gives us the strength. So we truly say that he will not forget our labor of love. He doesn't forget you because you have purposed in your heart to serve him. He doesn't forget that. And you might say he is, but he doesn't. He's wonderful. We have to prove ourselves, and God lets us, especially in our infancy years, to prove him. And that's is the most special part of your life, is allowing him to prove yourself that God has a goal, God has a place. It doesn't make any difference how long you live or whatever you live, that God has a special purpose for each one of us, that we can come before his presence with singing, come in joy, realizing he loves those that seek him. Those who will call upon him, he will answer us. So it puts, I feel the presence of God here so wonderfully, and God's wanting me to just sort of say this out of my heart here tonight. Because when the Spirit starts moving, then I have basically no control. And that's the hard part that scares a lot of people. You say, I don't want to say nothing when I'm out of control. But that's the trust that you have, that God expects us to put in him. If we don't know the answer, and God gives us the answer, will we take what God gives us and say that is the answer? Our minds, most of us, won't do that. We want to make sure that answer is correct before we will act upon it. But God wants to act on it because it's him. See, there's lots of difference. There's a lot of tremendous difference that you act on it because you don't know. You don't know what the answer is. But God knows, and he doesn't let you work it out with a formula, because see, that's letting him know that you're not trusting him. He sees our hearts. So when we do these kind of things, and he says, well, my child, I would like you to put your trust in me. And you say, well, I can't because I got to know. And he says, well, that's, I know what you're saying because I know you. See, we don't fool him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. In every task in life, we need to realize we need that unction from the Spirit of God to help us, to direct us, that we might say and do the perfect will of God. God wants us to come to that place that we quit making mistakes. You say, is that possible? No. We work toward that. And God works with us in our infancy. When I'm saying infancy is when we're trying and we make mistakes. And he says, that's all right, my child. I see you're young. I'll see you and I'll help you when we struggle. Any of you ever struggled? I've struggled many times. And that struggling, God sees our heart. And we're willing to put ourselves on the line. It gives great emphasis to God. God sees it as something he can work with. Am I losing anyone? I wouldn't want to lose you here tonight, because I wouldn't want to say anything that would make you not understand what I'm saying, because I believe that God told me this night, he wants us to know that these things work. I didn't know what I was going to say, but God's helped me say it. But it's actually from my heart. See, there's some things that God will anoint you in, it's out of your heart. But there's some things that you do, it's from his heart. And that's when we have to quit striving, quit even fretting about what it's going to be. Because he will lead us and guide us so wonderfully that we understand him better than we can drive our car. You know, driving the car, we have to stop at red lights, and we have to watch caution lights, and we have to watch stop signs, we have to watch speed limits, all these things that we cope as with driving a vehicle, and how to park it, and how to do these. God is doing the same thing with us. I thought as a child, I understood it as a child, but when we grow up, God will move mightily. And he is something to look for, to cherish. And we all grow in different speeds. God knows us. He understands us. And some of us don't have the desire. But whatever little desire we have, if we will give him just a little bit of desire, he will make it well worthwhile. He will not disappoint you. He's there to not to feel like you're cheated, like you're put down, like some people. But he's there always complimenting you. I can't understand the love of God. He's so mighty, so wonderful. God has never really chewed me out. And that just overwhelms me. I've needed it time after time, but God is there with his great love, his great makeup, his great wonderful ability that he sees us as that little speck. He wants to magnify that speck into a living soul full of his presence. That we will have peace. We will learn to have joy. We will learn to have great faith. We will learn to triumph in him. We learn to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'll guarantee you, you're not going to hear this very few places. But God wants us to come into his presence with thanksgiving, that we might enter his courts with praise, eating his word, digesting his word, and he allows us to grow in his likeness. And we cannot fight this fight in our own fleshly flesh. But Jesus paid the price in full on Calvary. Before he paid it, he came and lived in this life. All the things that we went through, he came through victorious, triumphant. And he never failed in any position. With that, he became our substitute. That if we will believe and trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he will take away our sins and put them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered and never be mentioned no more. What a wonderful Lord. What a precious God that we serve, that through Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, my disciples, and the disciples ask him, says, Lord, we don't want you to leave. He says, it's needful that I go away. It's needful because I need to go to the Father. I need to go back. But before I go, he says, he kept telling them he was going to be a sacrifice. And they could not understand this. But through Jesus, that sacrifice was made on Calvary some 2,000 years ago, that we could live and live practically in this life, that we might learn to be an overcomer, that we might joy every day of our lives can be a joyful time, that we don't have to fret, we don't have to be discouraged, we don't have to be cast down, but we'll triumph in him day by day. He is the God of all comfort. He comforts those who will seek him, to those that will go through all of our tribulation, that God will comfort us in all of our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort those that are in any trouble. That's what it's all about, that we will let our light so shine before this world that we become the offspring of God the Father, that there, wherever we go, that they see Jesus within us. And we don't force ourselves, but we move through the Spirit. The Spirit of God is something that we got to learn to adapt ourselves, because it's not something to hurt us, but it's there to benefit us, that we might be a blessing. And in ourselves, we get up and down, we get troubles. But when we start yielding, not in our understanding, but all of our ways, start acknowledging him, he shall direct our paths. And he will make us wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Now see, that seems very impractical, because we have to realize that, well, you know, if someone gets tough with me, I'm going to have the right words for him or she. I'm going to let them know a piece of my mind. God says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's our problem, that our mind comes in the position that stops God from moving in us. That we must take away, that we must renew this mind with the Spirit of God, that we might put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. There becomes a holy chapter that starts being built in this mind, that God takes away the old desires, the old things, the old thoughts, the corruption things that bring us down to no avail, and takes away the impurities that was born from the day of our childhood. We come into a home as Christian, you miss a lot of it. But even though that, there's a bondage that's given to every one of us when we're babies. You see of mothers and how they have to deal with it a little bit. They have to spank a little bit. And the Bible says this will break, Proverbs, different places, it says it'll break the wrong spirits. And this process takes away in Christians that they don't have to go through all the hassles that those that didn't come from a Christian home. So it enables us, there's a growing that takes place. But for those who have never known Jesus, they have also a hope in the Lord. And it's sometimes a little harder, but God gives them extra strength that they might be able to overcome. And as Jesus said, who will love me the most? He said, the one that I suppose that I've done more for. So even he leaves none of us out. And this time of Jesus is coming, and his coming means so much to us as those who love him as Christians, that our life should desire what God is absolutely from, and his blessing would always be upon us, that we can speak life or we can speak death. And that's the problem with a lot of Christians today, because there's a lot, I'm going to say something now, not to hurt feelings, but there's a lot of Christians that say they're Christian, even say they're Spirit-filled, and they're not in the Spirit. I'll guarantee you, they're not. God's told me why, and they're not. Because it's where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's illumination of the presence of God. Well, that's the infancy. We should have that at birth. As we birth it, it should remain there. And we don't clip the wings of those as they come in the presence of God, that they cannot fly no more, that they can't raise their hands and praise, that they can't come to that place, that God has a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And we become that what we invest in God will go on forever and ever and ever. What we invest, this Bible says, lay out your treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where many of the moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Many, many people, they're saying one thing, but they're not living what they're saying. And God is speaking to church this day. My church, I want you to live what you're speaking. Well, he's saying that time and time again. He desires us that we might grow in his likeness, in his ability. We'll not be clumsy. Have you ever seen kids sometimes, a clumsy age sort of, they're just falling down, and you know, and that's the way we are without God's help, his strength. We're sort of clumsy. And the more we learn of God, the easier it is for us. Tribulation, we start in tribulation, every one of us. Tribulation starts working patience. Patient experience and experience hope. When you got hope, praise God, it's like a skater. I don't know, I started skating when I was back at Fort Belvoir a little bit, and I learned to skate some. And I don't know if any of you know how to skate, but it takes time to learn to be a good skater. And in life, the same way, whatever we do, it takes time in doing something good. The enemy comes to take away every good thing that we start. He wants us to be quitters. He starts that out in everything you do. Quit, 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 quit. Anytime you start having a little opposition, quit, quit. But God's not saying that. Be an achiever. Keep going forth. Do not let hang-ups or do not hard conditions stop you from going on what you know to do right. He that knoweth to do right and doeth not, to him it is sin. And where there's sin, there's every evil work. And sin brings forth confusion, it brings forth heartaches, it brings forth trials, it brings forth bodies that are sick, minds that are very, don't know which way to go, they're walking in defeat, they're walking, and the enemy comes to kill, destroy, and to steal. He comes to defeat you. He comes not to bless you, but to take away the crown, take away the joy of the Lord, take away what God has given you, that you might become an overcomer. And God speaks mightily in Revelations that he's coming for the overcomer. So it's mighty if this fits right that we want to be an overcomer for God. An overcomer means that you can take what you're coming. It's not easy. And this right now, I'm going to stop for a moment. But God told me to speak to you is about machines. Like nowadays, there's backhoes. It's big, small, whatever. A few years back, 20, 30 years ago, they weren't in the picture. Started out, R.G. Letourneau, which was a Christian man. He started in the valley down here. And he loved the Lord. And he started designing equipment, which we say to now was sort of backwards. Because things have really changed. But all of these facets of this, God was showing me that they're like we are. That he brings in new and better and greater things. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and goodness, meekness, temperance, and patience, which are very important to all of us. As Christians, they're very important that we strive for those that they might take up residency in our lives. But with that, then God has special gifts. The Bible says in Acts that we might receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, see, that's why God has told me, and I back it up, I see very few Christians who are Spirit-filled are really happy. They have no joy. And that lets me know, not judging them, but there's more for them. And why this doesn't happen, because when they receive the baptism, and I don't care who comes to hear me say this, but it's from God and it's true, that when the people receive the baptism, they're really happy, filled with joy. But here, pretty soon, there comes a darkness comes down to stop every person. And they say, now, you know, you're getting too out where you should be. You need to compose yourself because God wants you to suppress what you're having. Because when you receive the baptism, it makes you joyful. But I had the Spirit of God for 2 weeks. The glory of God was just flowing through me. It was the most wonderful event of my life. And I found out that people don't like that. But God loves it. And this cannot be suppressed or we lose out that what God has given us. So these things have been so suppressed. God has spoken me to say this here tonight, and I'm saying it with love. It can be changed. But we've got to go back. And it says in Hebrews, if those who had the special gift go back, it'd be better. It says very hardly about them that they are taking Jesus Christ in the open chain. The Holy Ghost is something wonderful. And people have preached against it. And they were the ones that said they had it. And this shouldn't be. Although they're going to be accountable in the day of Christ, they're going to be accountable. But God says, be ye strong in the Lord, put you on the whole armor. It becomes an armor of God. Now, the gifts, the gift of discernment, the gift of faith, these are gifts that a child of God can seek for. In God's time, He will give them to you. When He sees that your desire is to serve Him, He doesn't give them because they're without repentance. That means if you choose to go do wrong, He would still have to give you that gift. Saul did this. He prophesied, and yet Saul was not truly right with God. So it's a special gift, and it magnifies the love of God. The love of God in it, and when you love God, and God sees that love, that desire that you have, it becomes a special instrument that God can use in you. All right, going back to equipment. There are road jobs that you have, highway jobs. There's bulldozers, there's cat and scrapers, there's scrapers, rubber-tired scrapers, there's front-end loaders, there's all different types of rollers, there's all basic numbers, and they're all different functions. They're not all the same, even though they may be made by Caterpillar, Komatsu, someone else, but they're for certain functions. And God gives us a gift of healing. And that gift of healing is that God can heal through where we're like sitting here. But the gift of healing, when it rests in you, it doesn't make any difference if anyone's there or not. That gift is lies resident in you. And people have it. It's like God sent His approval on you and says, okay, my child, because you've passed this test, I'm going to let you go to the third grade now. You don't have to stay in the second no longer. And that's the way we progress in our time. And that's where we have to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves is a very special subject that most Christians don't want to study. The Bible says, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, and that's something that we have to do. We have to humble ourselves. That's mean like going to church and they don't see you have it. They see you as no talent at all. And you can't get up and say, oh, God's given me. No, you can't say nothing. And they'll probably do the opposite. They we don't see nothing in Him. But you still got to stay humble to God to complete His. And you can't boast. You can't say nothing. You just take it and you live with it. But you'll grow in it. And God's got a special place in the Bible. He says He desires to those that come against you in any tribulation to take care of the matter, basically what it says. God will fight your fights. And God will bless you. But we need to realize if we want to do it or we can't do it, but we should, we shouldn't speak. I say we should never speak against the Holy Ghost, even if we don't have it, because it's, the Bible says it's an unpardonable sin and it'll get us in trouble. So that is one of the things that we should teach everybody, even the people that don't believe in it. You're about to sort of on quicksand when you start saying anything wrong against this wonderful Spirit. Jesus said it's needful that I go away. For I go away, He will come. But if I go away, He will prove the world of sin and lift up my name. He will be a hidden light within you. It said the world will not see Him, but you will see Him and will know Him because He dwells within you. It's an ever-present help of God that resides within those that believe and trust in Him. Am I getting too far ahead, anybody here tonight? I just really feel this is necessary. We need some teaching on these kind of things because people really don't know what they're going for. But it is an ever-present help in the time of need. God is these, but we grow in His nature. And I'm going to say something that I don't like to really put myself out, but God has told me to do it. For many years, I received, in 1956, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So wonderful. But about 1960, I realized that I wasn't going no place. I was actually, I felt going backwards. So I started praying. And I started seeing others the same way. They would receive, they'd tell people, get received. But afterwards, they would all say, now, well, now, hush down. We want our services where you don't sit out there and don't make commotion. God don't want you making commotion here. So we all took heed to that. The church really didn't want any emphasis on the growth of those who have received the power of the Spirit. I may stand by myself, but I believe that God told me it's true, and I know it's true. So when I start coming to that point, and I lived through it, which I know is right, and as long as I lived a half-shaky life, I was accepted very well. But just the time that I started yielding myself toward the Spirit of God, I was withdrawn from, and people says, we don't want you basically in our midst. And God says, see what's wrong? And I says, I was hurt. I didn't think it'd be this way. I was really truly hurt. And I said, why are they that way? And I was in a service one morning, and it was in June. And I felt the presence of God so mighty in that service. And I looked around and people were literally asleep in church. The house of God. The house of God. And I mean, they proclaimed in the church doors, this is God's church. But anyway, God gave me a vision. I seen Jesus walking down the aisle. I didn't see His face. He looked like He had a veil on, but He was crying. I knew that. I says, why are you crying, Spirit of God? Jesus says, because they don't love me. They want me, but they don't want me in their midst. And I started seeing this more and more and more, and it took time for this really to sink in. But it's really hurt me the way people have treated our Lord. You know, the people have told me, once you become more sensitive to people, well, I am pretty sensitive to people, but I'm more sensitive to the Lord. And we have come against our Lord. And when you follow this out in the Word, what I'm saying is very true. There's gifts and all these things, then the Church of God would be ready at the closing hours. The closing hours are arriving, but the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. So the Bible becomes true. And these scoffers, they're saying, oh, you know, we're going to have a glorious church. We're going to have, they say the opposite. But there's a hardness within their lives. And we ourselves here tonight must watch that hardness doesn't come in and we don't become as mechanical Christians. Those old rigs that I get on are mechanical. When you pull something, it does functions. It does what you tell it to as long as it's in workable condition. But we can get mechanical in our Christian life that we lose our love, we lose our joy, and we lose the spirit end of it. And when we start losing the spirit in, the old housing that we live in starts crumbling. It gets sort of shameful. This crumbling becomes, gets very lustful, gets very anger. And it doesn't have its own way, it gets very provoked. If you're right where you should be, it makes you very ashamed. And that's this man that's trying to work without the endeavor of the Spirit of God. And God sees it in that manner. And God wants us to realize that He has a special vocation for each one of us. And whether men or whether they believe or don't believe, what I'm saying will take them to heaven. And if I'm wrong, it ain't going to hurt them. But if I'm right, they're going to miss out on the biggest event that's ever been. Because heaven is beyond any, there's no recognition can describe what heaven's like. And feeling that glory, feeling that presence, that we are direction every day of our ukabush, the glory of God would be so upon us that we have the electricity from heaven guiding our feet, that we don't want to force our own way, but God gets great joy in us following Him day by day. He realizes that men and women both, for callings, want to exhort their own energies. Their own energies. But God wants us to control that in Him, that He works that energy from Him, not of ourselves. You see what I'm saying? If we try to cope with these situations in our own complex situation, we think, well, we're doing it by the Word of God, but we've left out the Spirit part. And the Bible says, in that day we must worship Him in the Spirit and in truth. We can't just live for the Lord just in truth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It means that God is with those. For the Spirit of the Lord, there is strength, there is power, there is anointing. And if we seek the Lord and by the Spirit, the Bible says we'll live. But if we live through the flesh, we'll die. I read it today and over and over and over. Even in Romans, all the Old New Testament, it speaks about it. In Isaiah, it says, there'll be a darkness that's come upon this land in the last hour. And it's here. That darkness is not what God would like. God brings us out of darkness to light. And that's why we don't really understand it so much, because we've been groping around in darkness all of our lives. But then when He brings us out and transforms us out in this wonderful light, we see, it's nice out here. There's glory out here. There's peace out here. There's faith out here. There's all the joy the Word of God relates within us, that we might have that positive direct declaration with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, that we're known from heaven. God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We need to realize that God has called us to repent, calling us to seek His face, calling us to dedicate our lives day by day, that we might walk above reproach, that we might walk in victory, that we might walk in His joy, that we might walk in His overlapping love upon us. His love is over, constantly above us. He puts that shield of faith above us, that we might walk in His presence. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, I will say of the Lord, and that's where we are this night. And it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noise of the pestilence. No evil shall fall thee, nor plague shall come nigh them to thy dwelling. All of thine eyes shall behold, see the reward of the wicked. And He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou even dash thy foot against the stone. You know, God's got 2/3 of the angels. There's a few imps around, but there's an unreal few. And God is greater than the imps. God is able. He give power to the church. He give us power over the things of the enemy. You receive power. God has given us power that we might be able to walk upright, and we might have the ability within us that we have the joy of the Lord, that we might be able to cope with the things that we're facing. That we're more than conquerors. And the Bible says in the first verses up before that, through tribulation. And that's when it comes to us in the 8th chapter of Romans. Tribulation. Most all of us go through tribulation. But we can have comfort in God. We're more than conquerors through Him. And while there's conquerors, there's no defeats. The enemy has already been whipped. He has already been defeated by Jesus Christ the righteous. He's given the church the authority that we have power over death, grave, and hell. He's given us the church to be triumphant in this last hour, that we might rise and lift our eyes high. Hallelujah. We might be only my height, but God don't see me as a short person. He sees me as in Him. There's other people a lot
taller than I, but God don't see us as our statue has no part of it. We're just in the Lord. And God sees us as that child of faith, that He sees us and respond to my Heavenly Father. He's my Father. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He gives us great comfort, great joy that we can have that glory of God, living in His presence, living, not feeling we're not denied. Brother Clint, each one of you here, the scepter of God comes down and says, my child, seek me, and ye shall surely find me. Call upon me, and I shall move upon thee as only I can. Strive for the Lord thy God, and I shall bless thee. Come into my presence, and I shall enable thee that I might walk as a great tower in this last hour, that thou might have a light from heaven upon thee, that thou would let thy light so shine, that I, the Lord thy God, have chosen thee, that thou might be blessed, that thou might walk in my fullness, that I would be able, that thou would be more than conquerors through me which loves you. I am able to cope with the things that thou face. I am able to give thee strength. I am able to give thee joy. I am able to give thee peace. Be not afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, have chosen thee, that thou might be a vessel of praise, that thou might attend, and thou might go forth, and thou would not see the pitfalls, that thou would only see what is in thy vision. I say, my people without a vision, they perish. And I say, my church this day is seeing what they see. And I'm looking for a people who will look not at the things that are seen, but they will look for the things that are seen from heaven. And they will have that belief within them that they're more than conquerors through Him which loved them. And I shall keep thee this day. Come and seek my face. And I shall enable thee that I may be readily, properly clothed at that day. And my appearance, when I come, I wish for my church to be clothed in righteousness. But I say this night, the attire is far beyond what I call for the clothing for my church. For I'm calling for a people, a church without spot or blemish. I'm calling for those who have prayed and sought my face. And I shall enable them to have joy in my blessings upon them continually, that they might walk above reproach, that they might be overcomers, that they might walk in my vineyard and show forth a harvest that is desirous to the might calling upon, that they might give forth a harvest, the Lord their God, for I have chosen my people not to come in fruitless, but would have fruit, that thou would walk upright before the Lord thy God, that they would have many souls and many sheaves packed in thy blessing, and I would give thee a blessing upon blessings, and I shall enable thee that thou would no longer walk in the way of man, but thou would learn to walk in my spirit. For I love thee, my ones. Be not afraid of the Lord thy God, for I have chosen thee this night. Be not afraid of me, for I have given thee a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Cast all your cares upon me this night, and I shall bless thee. I shall help thee to aspire the greatest heights, the greatest joy. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God has a place for each one of us. I believe He's got a calling. We don't have to put a lot of searching. God speaks. And basically, we just have to say, Lord, here am I. That's all He cares. We don't have to make it complicated. The more or less complicated we try to make it, the better off we are. God will come down as a mighty flood from heaven. And He will do a great work within us. But we can't come against Him. And how we do that is coming against the move of His Spirit. I didn't choose it, but that's what God chose to lead His people in the last hour. It would be His Spirit, which we could call the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. God understands whichever way we say it. Only reason I say Holy Ghost, because there's so many people that are ashamed of to say Holy Ghost. They're ashamed. They don't want, they just says Holy Spirit. But I believe that I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. And they're the same thing. And God, He will make Himself real. He won't come against you for saying Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. But remember, He is the reason. The Bible says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them. That's positive. I shall be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. There it is. God said, if you'll do these things, I'll bless you. And I'll be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, that's us, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. we have to work at that. And it continues. That's like sweeping the house out. Every day, as I've learned since Betty's been sick, I have to clean that house. And just one day after cobwebs and all these things that come in to, and you girls maybe know more about it than I do, but I found myself in something that I really didn't know about. But I found out it takes work keeping the cobwebs out of a house, keeping it clean. It's like a full-time job. And that's the way it is with our bodies. We must keep it clean, our thoughts pure. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. We seek the things of God. The Bible says, think of the things that are good. We need to think about the things that are good. Think about the things that are lovely. Think about the things of good report. Good things that are honest, they're just. The things that are pure. God says, think upon those things. The Bible says, out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. Thou shalt keep in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee because we trust in thee. So our hearts become, he will keep in perfect peace. His mind is stayed upon God. God gives a very lot of words talking about this subject. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. There's a tremendous lot of scriptures that back up what we're saying here tonight is true. If it was just one word, I would probably wouldn't, but there's a lots and lots of words that God says. He will hear our cry. He says, my child, be not afraid, for I will be with thee. And God says, if one man, if the whole world doesn't make it, doesn't feel no excuse why I won't make it. And the same goes to you here tonight. If no one else lives for God, God's still saying, my child, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. You can sit on the chair there, wherever you are. But I'm saying, it's good to fellowship. It's good to fellowship. But we need to realize that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwells and lives within us, that we might grow in His nature, that we might put on the covenant of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, that we might hear from Him, that we might, my sheep know my voice, and they come at my call, and a stranger they do not know. We don't need to know what the enemy, we don't need to be consistent, we don't even have to question Him. We need to stay away from His people. We need to consult, and our consulting doesn't come from the wrong side. Our consulting comes from the Spirit of God.